Welcome to Adventures in Autism, episode 38. I am Megan Kronza. Thank you so much for coming to listen. And I just have to say thank you so much to everyone who has reached out and sent messages and emails. I love hearing from you guys. Every week I'm hearing from more and more listeners, and it just touches my heart. Hearing from you guys is really the best, and I appreciate it. So definitely keep that coming. Also, if you are enjoying the podcast and you would be so kind to leave a review, especially on Apple Podcast, that really does help people to find the show. So that way, if somebody who is looking for something like this and might find it helpful, they can do that. So again, I really appreciate all those reviews, but everything. It just means so much to me. So today's episode, I'm super excited about this one. I am talking with Kelly Davis. She is a fellow autism mom, and she is a blogger. She has a blog called Growing Up Steven. And I actually found her on social media, on Instagram, with the same name, Growing Up Steven. And I just love following along with her and her son, Steven, and their family. He is an adult on the spectrum. He's 28. And they just have a lot of fun. They live in Florida, so they're like always hanging out on the beach, which makes me very jealous, but I just love to see it. And I just love her perspective and her kind of take on things as far as like raising a child with autism and then having that child become an adult. I feel like she was really good to listen to, and I took away a lot from our conversation, and I'm still thinking about a lot of the things that she said, and it really resonated with me. So I know that you guys will feel the same way listening to her now. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Adventures in Autism.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Yes, I am so, I've been looking forward to this for a few weeks now.
Good. Yeah, we were having to like reschedule. We had some life issues pop up.
Yes, that thing we call life, correct. Yes,
that's very true. Kelly and I had connected on social media, and I don't even remember, I don't remember if you followed me or if I followed you, but as soon as I saw your account on Instagram called Growing Up Steven, I was so intrigued by you and your story, because you have an adult son on the spectrum. And you and I had been talking before we started, where I just said, I love seeing you guys just live your life. It just, you have so much fun, and she lives in beautiful Florida, so I like seeing that.
Yeah.
I was just so drawn to you, and just that aspect of like living life and taking everything in stride. So that's why I really wanted to talk with you.
Yes. Well, I was so glad that you asked me to come on, because I feel like, you know, when your child gets diagnosed with autism, there's not many adults with autism out there that you can kind of say, what will my child be like when they're an adult? Will they be okay? You know, will they be able to live a normal life? Just all of those things.
I mean, I know I had those exact same thoughts, and I was really, I really at that time wanted to hear from people who had older children on the spectrum. And I wasn't able to find a lot of that. So that's another reason why we got the pod now, so we can chat with all kinds of people.
Right.
Awesome. So we will talk about all that. If you will kind of take us back to the beginning, though, and of like your Steven's childhood and when things maybe first started to come up for you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, when I was pregnant with Steven, it was a normal pregnancy, but it ended in a C-section. But everything was fine. And when he was a baby, he just seemed unusually fussy. I didn't have too much experience with a baby, but what I did know, I just felt that something was off. And the doctor just said he had colic and things like that. And so as he started to get a little older, I noticed he had a lot of repetitive things like clapping his hands and stiffening his muscles in his body. And it would be all day long. And I just said to my husband, That's just not, I don't think that's normal behavior for, a toddler. And so, but we didn't know what it was. And so when we questioned our doctor, he kind of dismissed us like we were overprotective, overbearing parents. So, which is unfortunately common with a lot of parents dealing with autism. So we, but I was watching a show one day, and they were talking about autism, and they were talking about this unique disorder called autism, is exactly what they said on the show. And this mother said that her son hugged her backwards, which might sound a little odd, but Stephen always did that. And right at that moment, I knew in my heart that that's what he had. And so I told my husband, I think this is what he has. So my husband, went to the library and got a lot of books. And he looked into the books and he's like, he does exhibit all these signs of autism. And so we talked to the doctor, and the doctor, kind of was still a little dismissive. But one day we went, and our doctor was out, and we saw a new doctor, and he said that he thought that we might be right, that he felt that Stephen did exhibit signs of autism, but he didn't know much about it. So and again, it wasn't prevalent at all. So we had to take him out of state, and we took him to a place called Teach Center in North Carolina. And they had a team that evaluated him, and it was a 3-day evaluation. And then at the end of the time, he did. They said, he does have autism, but team of doctors and psychologists and everything dealt with the whole situation, because first and foremost, they said how lucky we were that he was our son, because he was such a great kid and, such a free spirit. And they just were so positive before they gave us the diagnosis. And you don't usually see that a
Yeah, that's
lot.
incredible that they were so kind about it.
Very kind, and said that at that time I had a 5-month-old or 6-month-old, something like that. And so I looked, he was on the floor crawling around during the evaluation, I mean, during the diagnosis. And I was like, oh my gosh, what about our other son? That's the first thing I thought of. And they said, listen, this is extremely rare. And they said, don't ruin your quality time with your newborn baby or your baby by worrying if he has autism or not. And they were right. I was doing just that. I wasn't enjoying my baby. I was checking in for autism. And I couldn't live in the moment. And that is one regret, because he's my middle son, Patrick, and he's a software engineer. And that's one thing I wish I wouldn't have wasted a lot of time worrying so much about him being autistic. Because first and foremost, if he is, he is. You're going to deal with it. But it definitely put a damper on, my enjoyment and worrying. But as he got older, I stopped, and I saw that he was developing. I saw that, he didn't have autism. And so I did. And then with my third child, I didn't really worry about that at all with her. I was able to be more laid back
I
about
can
it.
totally relate to that, because like with my second, Logan had not been diagnosed when we had Liliana. He had just turned 3, and we were definitely thinking that that could be a possibility, but we were kind of like how you were saying that the doctors were dismissive. They weren't necessarily dismissive of us, because we were getting services at that time, but all of his doctors and therapists and teachers, nobody was like pushing us to get a diagnosis. They were all kind of like, it could be, but it also could just be a delay, because at that time he was still young. So it was like his behaviors that were emerging weren't like so concerning. Wasn't right. Until after we had her that we really wanted to seek the diagnosis. And then I remember, like, when she was, you know, a baby, just, I've said before, like, kind of holding my breath thinking like, what's going to be around the corner. And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy her, but it was like definitely something that was on my mind a lot, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that does take away from, you know, the excitement of enjoying your baby. I mean, it definitely mm-hmm. takes away from it. Stressful. So
tell me, because, okay, so Stephen is 28. So at what age was he diagnosed?
He was diagnosed at 2 years and, oh gosh, yeah. I don't know how many, I think four so months. Two.
He was pretty young. I'm really bad at math. So that was like 26 years ago. So remember what year it was?
Correct. 1992.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, did you know anything about autism at that time?
No. We saw the movie Rain Man. This is so weird. We saw that movie and my husband and I, and we were like, that's the craziest thing. And then when we left the movie, we loved the movie, but we were like, that was crazy. All the stuff he could do. And do you know, I don't know if you even know this about Stephen or not, but he has savant skills. He really is like the character in Rain Man, as far as like he can tell you any date of anything he's done. Like if you asked him, Stephen, did you go see Toy Story, the first Toy Story, whenever that came out? And he could tell you the day he went, the date he went, the showing that he went, and the actual theater he was in. Like if he was in theater number 2, or it's insane what he can do.
Oh my gosh, that's first of all, that's incredible. Yeah. And second, it kind of makes me laugh, because whenever I talk to people who are like not familiar with autism and I tell them like, oh yeah, my son has autism, they're like, oh, he must be a genius. Like, like that's something you hear. And I mean, I think like the percentage of people with savant skills that are on the spectrum is actually not very much, but that's amazing that Stephen actually does.
Yes, it's something like 2%. It's something like
2%. Man, everyone just thinks that that's like all kids in the spectrum, Logan is extremely smart. Like there's so much going on that we can't necessarily access with him. But it's always funny because people always like jump to that conclusion. And like you said,
they always have the mindset of what autism is, no matter if they know or not. They know, you know, the whole, that's why I did I've done a couple of blog posts talking about how people, you know, one person with autism is one person with autism.
It's so true.
Yeah.
After he was diagnosed, then were services available, like resources for you guys back then, or how did that go?
We had some speech. He had speech and occupational therapy, and then we moved to a district where he could get early intervention services. I am a huge advocate for early intervention. I feel like it is the most effective tool for your child to make progress. I, you know, I've seen it, and here's the thing: the children. Once Stephen started to get older, and Stephen, we were exposed more to children with autism. Now that I've seen these children be able to become adults, I know collectively early intervention is what helped them the most.
I completely agree. I think that early intervention is so important. And I think all too often, I shouldn't say that, but I think a lot of times though, parents just have a hard time accepting the situation, and then sometimes that early intervention gets put off and it gets later and later, and it's like the only person who is missing out here is your child.
Right. And a lot of people, I am all for anything and everything that you think will work to help your child, but it's going to be a combination. It's not going to be just a diet. It's not going to be just the intervention. It's going to be an entire, an entire group of different things that you can bombard your child with to help them make
Absolutely.
progress. It's just going, that's the way it's going to be. And I also start when Stephen started school, well, the kindergarten age range, I started to mainstream him. And what I did was we started mainstreaming him for 20 minutes at a
Oh,
time
wow.
because I thought anything longer than that would overwhelm him. So my recommendation for anyone who wants to start mainstream, if they want to give it a try for their kids, is to start very small and then build up. And I think it's pretty, it can be pretty successful if you try it. My thing is, I like inclusive. There's some kids that can't mainstream. They're star. But if possible, I really strongly advocate for mainstreaming. And the reason I do is because we do not live in a special needs world. We live in an inclusive world where we all have to get along, we all have to communicate, all of that. And so we're not all self-contained. Our kids are not going to grow up self-contained. They're going to grow up and be in this world we're living in, and they need to know how to adapt in it. So I'm big on
You
mainstreaming.
definitely hit the nail on the head when you said that, they're not going to be self-contained their whole lives. I mean, it's true that there is definitely people on the spectrum who, like you said, can't be mainstreamed. Fine, but I do think that
Correct.
if you see that that's a possibility for your child, like you're saying, even just 20 minutes at a time, just to introduce it, I think that's so smart. Logan is in a self-contained class, and then that was something that we had talked about, was kind of pushing him in and doing some getting him in the mainstream class. And as this year went on, the first couple of months, I'm like, okay, like what's the plan? What's going on? And everyone kept being like, oh, we're just still kind of trying to like find our bearings. But I kept pushing for it. And what they ended up doing with him is putting him in music class with his kindergarten peers. So just get it, like you said, like just a little bit at a time.
I think that's good. I think that's fantastic.
And then like eventually we're hoping that we can, just kind of like move him like more and more.
That's what the goal should be for everybody, for the whole IEP team. And not only that, but it's so important for the children that he's mainstreamed with because they need to know that there's all walks of life on this planet that we're all living on. There's people that look different and act different and talk different and walk different. It's just so important for both sides of
I
the fence, really, to
completely agree.
speak. But so I'm all for
Yeah, but see,
mainstreaming.
having kids, see all the different diversity there is, I just think that all that's going to do is help them. So, like you said, it's good for everybody. Okay, so you started with 20 minutes a day, and then were you able to eventually have Stephen be mainstreamed, or like how did the rest of his kind of school years go?
Yes, he eventually worked up. It took a few years and he worked up to a full day. And academically, he was doing extremely well. However, because he has autism, safety issues were still in place. Meaning, he still had some difficulties with some safety issues. And so I fought for and won for him to have an
Oh, good.
assistant. And so they were able to help keep him, safe and on task, but they really did give him his space. They just were kind of I call him more of a shadow, but academically he did so well that it really was the best place. It was the least restrictive
Yeah.
environment for him, which, all that's what they have to provide. And so, but the assistant was a, and you know, there's lots of children that can make it in the mainstream with an assistant. And I really feel like if they can, they should be given that opportunity. I think it's worth the battle if parents want to battle that. And I hate to use the word battle, but
It's a battle.
unfortunately, that's sometimes what
There's a lot
that's
of battles.
sometimes what it is. And yeah, and it worked. And he, so then he had an assistant all the way up through middle school and high school, and actually graduated with a regular
That's
ed diploma.
amazing. Oh my gosh.
Was very amazing. He was the first, the State Department of Tennessee, which is where he graduated from high school, said he was the first one with a severe, as severe of a disability as he had to ever get a regular ed diploma.
Wow.
And they were just so proud of him. Yes. And so he went from, and as a matter of fact, when he was younger and they started, the doc, the psychologists and therapists started noticing his savant skills, they told us he would never be able to do basic academics because they can't do savant and basic academics.
Oh.
So, yeah, so they said he would never be able to do that, but he proved them wrong.
Wow.
He was able to. Yes, and so he went all the way up, and he worked so hard. And here's the thing. He doesn't have high functioning autism. He doesn't have Asperger's. He doesn't have you know, anything else on this. He was diagnosed at 2 with severe autism. As a matter of fact, back in the day when they diagnosed him, they had a scale, and it was 1 through 10, 10 being the worst. And they said he was about a 9.8, and he was one of the worst cases they
Oh
had
my
ever
gosh,
seen.
my mouth is like on the floor, right? I wish you could
Yes.
just see.
Yes.
That is incredible.
And so that's right. So for parents out there whose kids are getting diagnosed and they feel doom and gloom and they feel like this is the end for us, and it's just not true. It's just not true. And you know, and a lot of times growing up, you know, and that's the school side of it. You know, a lot of times growing up, there was a lot of dark times with Stephen. Puberty was a very dark
Yeah.
time for us. And I was like, I'm not going to live through this. I didn't think I was going to live through the puberty situation. I'm not even joking, but because a lot of times, and this is something parents really need to be on the lookout for, but a lot of times when kids with autism hit puberty, other things
I
come
was
to
gonna ask.
surface.
'Cause I've heard that before. Obviously, with puberty, like hormonal changes are inevitable. And you know, with somebody on the
Yes.
spectrum, you're where, like you said, we don't want to call it a battle, but you already are battling with with certain things. But then it's like you also
Right.
battle these hormonal changes that, you know, that they would throw even a typical kid into a tailspin. I can only imagine that, you know, on the spectrum, it would be a different situation. And I've heard that before. Can you talk about that at all? Like how things were at that time?
Well, he was getting ready to enter into high school, and like I'd say late middle school, and he started exhibiting really like pacing back and forth, and having to go to the door and then sit back in the chair, go to the door, sit back in the chair. I mean, just really bizarre stuff that none of us knew what was going on. And I, you know, his therapist, and up until this point, he had been doing so well. I mean, behaviors were under control, tantrums were under control, just he had been doing so well. So no one could help us. And so we took him to a center in Florida who specialized in. We thought it was OCD stuff. We thought he was getting severe OCD stuff because that's what it seemed. It seemed ritual like and everything. And so we took him to an OCD clinic, and the OCD clinic said, you know what? We're going to bring in some tomorrow. It was like a 4-day evaluation. And they said, we're going to bring in some other doctors tomorrow. And I said, okay. So they brought in these other doctors that were from the Tourette's clinic. And it turned out that he had Tourette's syndrome and it had just basically popped up. And they said it happens a lot. It just, for whatever reason, just
Wow.
shows up. And yes. And he also did have OCD. So he had Tourette's, and but what he had was a gross motor Tourette's. So his pacing back and forth, that was all Tourette's. And then the OCD was on top of that. So that made him have to do it. And so it was just a very, very difficult time. And then you had, and then he started throwing mass, having massive meltdowns. And I mean, they would go on for five, six,
Oh
seven
my.
hours. And then he would, and I just thought, you know, then, and it was so painful to see him, somebody had worked so hard to get where he was, doing very well, loving, happy, loving life. And it almost seemed like overnight this all happened. And it was so painful. And I, you know, I remember one day we had probably seen 15 specialists because we didn't know what was going on. And so we went to a doctor to test for allergies because they tested him for a stroke. They tested him for everything. So we wanted to see, make sure there weren't, because the doctor had said sometimes funky allergies can throw you into a tailspin. And I was like, really? And they were like, yeah. So we were at this allergist and they were getting ready to test him. And I just broke down crying. And I sit in front of the doctor and even in front of, and I, Stephen put his hand on my hand and he said, it's going to be okay.
Aww.
I was like, he really had never shown that kind of compassion before. But we had been through, and it had been a couple of months of just agony. And he said, it's going to be okay. And the doctor almost was taken back by it. And I said, I know, Stephen, I know it's going to be okay. And so, but so long story about all that short is it was Tourette's and OCD. And he had never, ever been on medication up until that point. And when you have it, let me tell you, I feel strong about saying this. When you have a child, I could not express enough how much against medication I was and I have always
Oh.
been. But when you have a child that cannot walk out of the front door and function, and nothing you do, therapeutic, diet, nothing you do will help that person except to help him by giving him a medication, you will do it. Because you have two choices. You can see your child suffer or you can try to help them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so he is, and actually, the doctors, the specialists we saw were experts in the medication and everything. So their approach was less is
Great.
more. So they put him on a very low dose, of a couple of medications, and he slowly, it was very slow, started to get out of the dark place that he was in and do, and he was homebound at that time, and he started to be able to go back to school and he started to be able to live his life again. And he just started doing better and better. And you know, things just started looking up from there. And then he finished high school and, like I said, graduated with a regular ed diploma and has just, you know, he's been living his life and he's been happy and healthy. And you know, I wanted to say that because I know a lot of people are against medication. And listen, I don't love the fact that he has it, but I hated the fact more. couldn't function.
That he was suffering.
And he was, yeah, he couldn't function, and he was so unhappy and so sad, and so I hated that fact more.
Oh, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. I feel like the medication thing is so tough. We don't have Logan on any medication except for melatonin. He does take that. I'm totally not against medication, but I am kind of like how you're describing it as sort of like a last resort. That's kind of how I look at it. Yeah, like I feel like if we can manage without it, then if we do get to the point where we need it, then hopefully, it's like he has enough skills and we've given him the tools to, do the best that he can on his own. And then it's like medication hopefully will just help the situation. But yeah, I think it's so like black and white. People are either like ready to just like throw pills at it or like completely against it. So sometimes, yeah, there has to be that kind of gray area. So I do appreciate you saying that for sure.
Yeah, he was 16 before, and I was just like, I'm not, we're never going down that medication route. And I just, it's about, don't we all want a good quality of life? He deserves to have a good quality of
Absolutely,
life.
absolutely. Yeah. No, I think that like what if it's necessary, it's necessary. That's it.
Yeah. Right. And if you can never have to touch medication, I support that. And if you can do other things instead of medication, I support that as well. I'm a big proponent of that as well. So, it's up to each parent, each
Yes.
individual. That's how you
You
have to
have to
take it, for
do
sure.
what you feel is right for sure.
But I do notice, the reason I wanted to say that is because I've seen a lot of parents judge other parents. One, both sides. I've seen them judge for putting them on medication. I've seen them judge for not putting them on medication. We just need to support each other in what's best for our children.
Absolutely. I could not.
That's why I
Yeah.
wanted to say that.
Okay, so then tell me, obviously like he graduated, which is unbelievable. That's incredible. So what was life like for him and for you guys after he graduated? Was there a program that he was able to continue with, or because he had actually graduated, was he like done? I don't know how that works for you guys.
Once you age out of school, you are done. They no longer. However, each state vocational rehabilitation, and they are usually, and this is something for parents with older kids should know, the last year of their high school, if you feel like your child's going to be able to work or need rehabilitation services or anything like that, you need to bring your local voc rehabilitation service into your IEP meetings the last year of school, because they will be the transition people once your child ages out of school. So they help if they, help them try to find a job. Give them tr more training if they need it. But I will tell you, it's very, very tough thing to find adults with autism jobs. It's just tough. So it's been a battle. Steven has all these skills, and he's got a great personality. He has apraxia of speech. That's another thing. When he was diagnosed with autism, his speech was very, very delayed. I should have said this when I was telling you about it. His speech was very delayed, and so I thought he was going to be nonverbal, but it came to find out that he had apraxia of speech, which delayed his speech. So his speech is very robotic sounding. He can hold a conversation with you, but you have to pay attention to what he's saying to understand him. So he has apraxia of speech. So that makes it very difficult. He's very outgoing, has a great personality, and loves people. But working with the public is tough because they would have a hard time understanding him. So that kind of, that's a shame because, but and not that What it comes down to is who out there is going to give them a chance. People hear the word autism and they go running. And that is just the truth. They don't want the liability of employing someone with autism in case they get injured or hurt on the job. They don't want, to have to deal with the inconvenience of putting extra time and effort into training a person with autism. It's really true. It's so frustrating and has been frustrating to try to find Stephen a job since graduating high school.
Has he done like
Tough. So we've taken. Oh, go ahead.
Oh
I'm
no, I
sorry.
that's I think you were gonna say what I wanted. Just basically like has he done like the rehabilitation? Like was it like a program for him?
He went to what I started to do is we found some online classes. And so I'm like, in between if finding you a job, Stephen, we're going to take some classes. So he looked online and signed up. And so he's been taking classes that he's as interested in. He's interested in computers and administrative and web page design and stuff like that. So he's been taking some of those classes online. And that's fine, and I encourage him, and he's still continuing to do that, but I want him to get out there and communicate with people and associate with people. So he's been volunteering. He's been volunteering at the food bank, our local food bank, and he's also volunteering at a school called Beyond the Spectrum, and it is a school for kids on the spectrum, so they all have autism, and he volunteers and helps the kids with academics like math and science and social studies, and they have been fantastic in incorporating Stephen into the schedule. And they don't have a job for him right now. If they did, I know they would give it to him, but they're a nonprofit, and so they just don't have anything right now. And so he's volunteering and trying to build his skills until that job, comes about. But I told him that we're still going to have a fulfilling life. Whether you have a job or you don't have a job, your life is still going to be fulfilling. So tell me what you want to do. And so we've just made that happen.
Oh my gosh, that sounds incredible. I love that he is, I mean, obviously working with kids on the spectrum who I'm sure can look at him as an inspiration because he is, that he was able to graduate and he has had so much success. And then on top of that he is helping at the food bank. Like he's doing so much good, I feel like. That's incredible.
Yes, he is, and he always enjoys what, I talk to him about giving back, and he enjoys going there, and he enjoys helping people that, he talked to me about why don't they have food. We got in a conversation, and I said sometimes, people have hard times, and they need some extra help, but he was interested in why they couldn't buy food and things like that. So it's been a great opportunity and a learning and a teaching thing, like we would do with all of our children. And but he's hands on, and he went and he was on his feet bagging food for homeless people for over 3 hours. And I was like, Stephen, you ready? That's hard for him. And I said, you ready to go? And he said, no, I want to finish. And so we finished.
That's amazing. See, I love that because I mean, obviously, okay, we know that the job situation is pretty bleak, unfortunately. And I pray that turns around and that I
Me
think I
too.
really feel like it will because I think that, more and more kids are being diagnosed with autism and like when Stephen was little, there were so few. But now it's like everywhere you turn, there's more kids with autism. So it's like the world is going to have to adjust to.
Are going to have to, and the only word that comes to my mind, and some people might think this is an extreme sentence, but there is a tsunami of autism coming, and they have got to be prepared. Our federal government needs to get prepared. Our communities need to be prepared. Our state and local government needs to be prepared. I mean, we just have got to prepare for these kids.
I totally agree with you. And I feel like I think it's going in that direction. I think it's easy to for people to be like, like we need more of this, we need more of that. And obviously, like we do. I want all the services. I want all the resources available. I want everyone with autism to have a job. But it's like these things aren't gonna happen overnight. So it's like I'm
No, they're not
grateful
true.
for the advances that we've made so far. And I think that as long as we continue this path of things getting better, then let's just be hopeful. Hopeful for
Yes, I agree. I think things are getting better, and they're going to continue to get better because, like, it's going to be the demand for it to get
right. Well,
better.
that's just it. But I, yeah, I mean, like, what my concern, at least right now, I'm not so worried that like Logan wouldn't have a job one day. It's more just like I would want him to, the idea of him like being an adult with autism and like staying home all day, like not advancing,
Right.
that scares me. That scares me.
It used to scare me too. That's something, isn't it funny? We all must have that in our heads because that used to scare me too. And that just, and actually, sadly, I know several adults with autism that do stay home all day. And so that is there, is a possibility for, like I said, for people who, listen, we all have a choice. I've chosen that Stephen is going to get out there and do things and live his life. And, and some people don't listen. There's a lot of like I had talked to you about this before, that I have a friend who didn't want to, and she would admit this. This is nothing that I'm not sharing that she would not admit. She didn't want to fight the fight when he was growing up, because it was he was extremely did violent and the meltdowns and stuff, and she did not want to fight the fight. But here's the thing: now that he's an adult, his quality of life is showing that she did not fight the fight, and that's unfortunate. And she's even said to me, "I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done this." And you don't go back and get a second
Right.
chance.
It's so true. Yeah. No, I think that that is really important for people to hear, 'cause again, I mean, for me, I have a young child with autism, and I think a lot of people listening are in the same boat, and it's like you have to, like you said, fight that fight now so that, tomorrow the future can be brighter.
Of course, it always can. And these kids, the progress shows up on their time. They're pro like when Stephen, I worked with Stephen day in, day out. His therapists work with him, his teachers work with him. And it wasn't until well into elementary school that he started to really, really, really show signs of progress. And I mean, it was rapid. Everything that I had taught him, everything everyone had taught him was starting to show up.
That's like so good to hear, because I do feel like the progress is so slow, and I'm
Very
thankful for
slow.
like any little nugget that I get back from him. But it's so nice to hear from someone who's been through it and is on the other side of it, that like this all this time and effort that you're putting in, like you'll get
Yes.
the payback.
Yes, and even as an adult, I still see things, even as an adult, that when Stephen was younger and I taught him or told him, he uses now as an adult. So it just never stops. The progress never stops.
That is like my if there's two things that I would like for Logan. I would like for him to be happy. A, I think that is the most
Yes.
important thing. And B, I would like for him to continue progressing as a lifelong journey. I think that if we have those two things going on, like we are going to be A-okay. And I've always said, I'm like, I don't care if it's slow progression. We could be moving at a turtle speed, but if we're moving forward and we're not going back, that's all that matters.
Right. That is all that matters. And you know, when you get that diagnosis, it's tough. And at least it was for us. It was a tough, you know, he was, I didn't love him any less, of course. And you know, but just hearing that, you know, your child has something and they're going to struggle because of it is tough. However, if I knew today, or back then, what I know today, I just it would be a whole nother ball game, because they, you know, he has a fulfilling life. He loves to travel. He loves to go places. He loves to go to the movies. He loves to go to the beach. He loves to go to Disney World. I mean, no one lives a fuller life than he
Yeah,
does.
oh my God. And you can see that. You can see that in him. And you guys, I think that it's so important for other families to see that, like, hey, like, yeah, like we, you know, living with autism, but like it's not so bad. It's okay. That's how I feel. Like, I feel like we felt so scared before the diagnosis that like that somehow Logan would change or our lives would change. And it's like, no, like the world kept on spinning. We had to adapt to certain things and we still do have to adapt to certain things. But like I mean, I think attitude is so much of it too. So it's like, if you have the attitude of like, you know what, we're gonna try it and we're gonna see what happens. Like 9 times out of 10, he shocks me and surprises me at how well he does with things. So it's like, you just gotta keep going, keep going.
Exactly. And you know, when you know, and it just depends, you know, when one of the doctors we saw before Stephen had his diagnosis, she was so doom and gloom. And so she said, just forget that baby you gave birth to. Just forget about that baby. That baby's dead. He does not
I would have
exist
punched
anymore.
her in the face.
So my husband said, oh, really? So you mean when we bring him home, there's going to be no more meltdowns he's going to have? That's what my husband said to the doctor, because he's like, okay, so if he's no longer, that means that the one we're taking home today will have no more meltdowns then.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She just looked at him like he was.
Oh my word. We've been lucky, and it's sad that I say that we've been lucky, but we haven't really encountered people. I mean, I've encountered some ignorant people saying some ignorant things, and I have some remarks back to them. But if somebody said that to me, I don't think I'd
Oh,
my cool. I don't think I'd keep my cool.
I don't know what, I don't know what kind of a philosophy you have to do. But then again, you know, times are changing, thank goodness, because I don't think anyone would say that now these days. I just don't see a doctor saying that to somebody, to
Don't
parents
think,
these
yeah,
days.
I don't think a doctor would say that, but, and I've talked to this before on the podcast, but I still get so often when I say, like, to someone who doesn't know, you know, me or Logan, I'm like, oh yeah, my son has autism, and their first reaction is, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
And I'm always
I know,
like, and I'm immediately like, there's nothing to be sorry about. He's an amazing kid. I'm lucky to have him. That's it. And I just, there you go.
I know, I know. And then, you know, sometimes you'll go and they'll talk, you know, when you go to the doctor's office, they'll talk to you and like they can't hear. One time, and this is a quick funny story. One time we were at the doctor and she said, she was very nasty and it's like, get on the scale, you know, the nurse was and stuff like that. And then I said, excuse me. I said, he has autism. I mean, he was probably maybe 11, I'm taking a guess, around 11. And she was so mean to him. He was doing the best he could. You know, processing things, it takes him a minute. And he was trying and he got scared when she yelled at him and stuff like that. And I said to her, excuse me, you know, like that. And then she left the room and he looked at me and he said to me, M don't call me Stephen with autism.
Oh.
I am so sorry. I said, what should I have called you? And he said, I just want to be Steven the regular.
That makes me want to cry. That is,
I know. So
gosh.
from then on, I said to Stephen, Stephen, if that happens, you tell, I want you to speak up for yourself. And that's when I started helping him do a little more advocating for himself. But I was always careful from then on because he deserves the same respect that as all of us, you know? And so I was like, I am so sorry I said that, and I will not do that again. So I was just careful from then on.
It's
But he told me what was
yeah, he
what.
sure did. Oh my gosh. Good for him.
So,
He's got that moxie. Oh my gosh. Well, I have so enjoyed talking with you, and I
yes.
just think that you're amazing and Steven is incredible, and I love hearing about you and your family. Do you want to share how people can connect with you?
Sure, they can. Growing up Steven, I have Instagram and growingupsteven.com. I have a blog and a website, and I would love for anyone to go on there and check out my blog posts. I talk about, our whole journey, and even now I talk about, different things now. And I also have a Facebook page, and I kept the name Growing Up Steven for everything just to try to keep it simple for people.
Yeah, well, I will I'll
So
tag all that stuff when I post the show. But Kelly, again, thank you so much for being so open and honest and for sharing. And you're just an incredible mom, and Stephen is amazing, and I love following along with you guys.
oh, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed listening to my conversation with Kelly. I just think that she is amazing, and I connected with her so much. I feel like following along with people on social media, people like Kelly, is really just the best. People who are so like honest and open about their lives, especially when, it's an adult on the spectrum, because like we talked about this in the episode, but I feel like it's different for everybody, obviously, but it's kind of a glimpse into what the future might hold for us. And if our future is as bright and happy and fun as Kelly and her family's, then I am very excited. Because it's so nice to see people really enjoying their lives and letting autism be a part of it, but not dictate everything. I love that so much. So I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to Kelly, and definitely follow her on social media so you can see all the fun stuff that her and Steven are up to. Steven is so sweet too. I love all her videos with him. He touches my heart. So yes, definitely check out Kelly on social media, Growing Up Steven, and her blog. And then if you want to connect with me, you can find me on Facebook at Adventures in Autism Podcast, or on Instagram at Adventures in Autism Pod, or you can email me at adventuresinautism2018@yahoo.com. Again, I love hearing from you guys. If you just want to say hi, if you have a question, a comment, all of it, let me know. If you are interested in being a guest on the show, if you'd like to share your story, then definitely let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Another little fun piece of news, I was a guest on another podcast this past week, with the host Jody Warshawski. Has a wonderful podcast called Accepting the Unacceptable, and it's mostly solo episodes. She's the host, and she's amazing, and she talks all about her journey with her family, and her daughter Remy has autism and epilepsy. So she talks a lot about that, but then she has had a few guests, so I'm very honored to be one of those guests. So definitely check out that episode. It was really fun. Her and I just connected, and I feel like the conversation got very deep and very personal because her and I have such a wonderful connection as it is. So definitely check that out. And again, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, take care.